Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to the February 8th edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. This is your host, Kwafo Adakwa, coming at you as we get close to the NBA All-Star Break. Wanted to get you a podcast, as we like to do for the Friday slate. We're going to try a little bit of a different thing here. There's a lot of places on the web where you can go game by game and find different takes on players and whatnot. So we're going to give you, going through the eight games on the Friday slate, we're going to give you a little bit different feel to it, where we just ask one or two key questions that you want to think about as you're building your rosters, because there's so much information. And again, I'm trying to get you guys some content that I think would be useful kind of teach you what I'm thinking about as I'm looking to build these lineups. So we'll try something new. Again, if you don't like it, please get at me. I'm at Spartanzilla on Twitter, and then the same in our Lineup Logic community. So let me know if you don't like this change to the podcast format. But just as I've talked about last week, trying to figure out different ways, kind of keep the listenership engaged and enthused in it. As I like to start the podcast always, for $10 a month, you can join the fun and frivolity of the Lineup Logic community. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. It's going to get you access to the Slack chat where all the fun activities happen. It's going to get you access to cheat sheets. Baseball's around the corner, and a lot of people are antsy for that. Pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting here soon, so we'll have sheets, cheat sheets talking about the DFS landscape for both DraftKings and FanDuel for MLB. Obviously, on a daily basis, Jeremy and Spectre and myself try to get you NBA cheat sheets. There's cheat sheets for NBA or for the PGA, cheat sheets for MMA. During the NFL season, obviously, there's cheat sheets and there's tools for all the sports as well. I know Jeremy does a fine job, fantastic job, I should say, with the NBA cheats for those that are members of the community. So again, $10 a month, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Check it out and hope you enjoy it. As we do on this podcast, we'll go through injuries, go through some notes across the association, we'll do the key questions from each of the eight games on the slate, and this part won't change. I will build a lineup for DraftKings, and I will build a lineup for FanDuel, so we'll see how that works, and we'll see how you all like it there. So please make sure you get at me and let me know if you like a little bit of the format change we've got here going on. So with it being trade deadline day, that has come and gone, and so now we're into the buyout market in the NBA. So a lot of veterans and younger players that aren't going to fit the needs of some teams are going through that process right now. So we'll see how these rosters end up looking. But today was rather uneventful. You know, there's all the news about Anthony Davis, and he ends up staying on the Pelicans, and it looks like they're not going to sit him. He's going to actually play out the rest of the season, and they'll roll the dice that he doesn't get hurt and try to reevaluate trade stuff in the offseason. So Davis is part of our discussion and narrative here on the Friday slate. I'm also looking at other notes around the association. Otto Porter going over to Chicago will be interesting to see how he integrates in Jim Boylan's system. Not really sure what Chicago was thinking with this one, but there you have it. They kind of get Washington out of a bad deal. We've got Harrison Barnes going to Sacramento, and the Kings are going kind of all in for it, which you like to see. They're going to try to make the playoffs, so kudos to them. Harrison Barnes, a nice addition to them. Tobias Harris to create the East Coast lineup of death with the 76ers, so he should be making his debut on Friday night. So we'll like to see what happens with him and his integration into the Philadelphia 76ers offense. This should be fun to watch. Tyler Johnson taking over point guard duties, I saw, for the Phoenix Suns. So he made his way from Miami over to Phoenix in the deadline activity. Nikola Mirotic leaving New Orleans, part of the exodus there, and going to Milwaukee. So he's going to make them instantly better. The East getting really rough and tough, and I like it as a guy who's a East Coast basketball kind of watcher. It's good to see the East rising again and maybe make a some competition for Golden State in the NBA Finals this year. The big deal, or one of the two big deals that happened actually today, Marc Gasol going to Toronto. So really solidifying Toronto's defense. He will be one to watch for as we go forward for DFS purposes. You know, usage probably going to go down from where it was in Memphis, but still will be a viable component for DFS rosters once he gets in there and gets integrated into what Nick Nurse is trying to do up in Toronto. So very good to see Gasol moving on and Toronto also going for it. So you get, you know, Toronto, Philly, Milwaukee, all trying to go for it. And obviously Boston still in the mix. I just saw them take the L on the last second shot from their favorite son there, Rajon Rondo. So very competitive in the East. The Eastern Conference playoffs should be very fun. Last big deal to be mindful of, Markelle Fultz leaving the 76ers and going down to Orlando. So we'll see what that means for his career. He needed to get out of Philly. You know, I don't know if he's going to be relevant for DFS with only, you know, 25 games or so left on the slate. So we will see if the shoulder ends up healing and if he becomes viable. It's a good place for him to go in Orlando. He's going to get some run, and maybe if anywhere they can salvage their career, it's probably going to be it in Orlando with not a lot of pressure for him there. Moving on to injuries, there's several across the association that will impact the Friday night slate. Caris LeVert coming back after the long injury. He's probable with a minutes limit, probably not usable in this first game back, but we'll see how he integrates into the very frisky Brooklyn Nets thing. Shedi Osman from Cleveland, to the extent anyone was using him, he's out. Zach LaVine's probable. Gary Harris is already officially ruled out for the Nuggets. Paul Millsap is questionable. Devin Booker, questionable. TJ Warren, already ruled out. Elf Payton, also ruled out. The process, Joel Embiid, under the weather. So he's questionable, but he's probably likely to play. Luka Doncic, also questionable. Kevin Love, a name we haven't heard most of the season, and a name I'm not really sure why he would be coming back, but he's questionable, so he may see some run on Friday. Captain of one of the All-Star teams, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is probable. The knee. Chris Middleton, load management, which is this new thing in the NBA. Looks like he's going to be out on Friday, so it's impactful for the slate, obviously. Ish Smith on the Pistons, probable, so that impacts a little bit of the activity on Friday. And then Bobby Portis, new look Bobby Portis, over on the Washington Wizards. He is questionable for Friday. So that's kind of a quick rundown of key injuries I see for the DFS landscape. So do with that what you will. As you know, this is taped the night before, so you will have to be mindful all throughout the day to figure out where a lot of these players lie. So we're doing the best we can with the information we have now and trying to get you that those news and notes from the association. So let us go down to game by game. And again, we're not going to break it down. We're going to change up a little bit. I'm going to give you key things to look for in each of the eight games on the Friday slate. And let's see if you like this format change. So we'll start in Philly. New look 76ers hosting the Nuggets. There is no line on this. I think obviously the health of Embiid, the health of Millsap is kind of why we don't have a line in that Denver-Philly game. If I'm looking at two things to look for, obviously in this game, Embiid's health. If he doesn't go, opens up Jokic time for Denver. Very robust player for, you know, two all-star centers going at it. So you want to see Embiid play, but if he doesn't go, Jokic to me is a lock and load in this one. Other thing obviously we want to be mindful of is what role does Tobias Harris ultimately have now in this starting five? You know, Redick is back, so they will have their full arsenal going on display. So you want to see what happens there. Any of the pieces on that starting five, maybe with the exception of Harris, just because I want to see what he does. But any of the other pieces on the starting five, probably good to go. in this matchup. And as I mentioned on the Denver side, the key question is the health of Mr. Millsap. You know, you have Jokic in there. You have Plumlee, Morris, Murray, all players that you could use. But key question is health of Embiid and the health of Millsap. Those are the two things that we want to look for in this one, in a game that, if I had to guess it, would probably be somewhere in the 220s is probably where that total will land. Moving on to Cleveland, Washington. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Washington is a 10-point favorite, and it's a 220.5 over-under. These are two bad teams right now. I know Washington got out from under the bad deal with Otto Porter, as I mentioned, but they're a bad team. I mean, there's probably some value to be had with guys like Satoransky and whatnot, but and Brad Beal is always a play you can use. Bradley Beal always a play you can use. But key question is here, what happens with Kevin Love if he comes back? You know, is he a usable piece? Probably not in that first game back. I'm not a guy that likes to use the folks coming off of injury. Could be some value with a guy like Jordan Clarkson, but key question there is the health of Kevin Love and what that does to Cleveland. Looking at Washington, how they integrate some of these new parts and pieces. Is Brad Beal become the go-to man? Yeah, he really is, you know, with the now going to be full year missing of John Wall. It looks like they're going to build around Brad Beal. You know, they've got these different parts and pieces now on the team. So the key question is, what happens with Bradley Beal? Usage wise, he's 8,800 on DraftKings, at a position, at shooting guard that you could, you know, probably go some other way. So, I don't feel like compelled to use, Brad Beal in this matchup. So, for me, the key question is why would you use, Wizards or Cavs in this one? So, let's move on to, my neck of the woods. The Pistons are hosting the Knicks in a game that just was played a couple days ago. 206 is the over-under. Detroit is an 8.5-point favorite. Key question here is, again, the integration of all the players that came over from the Dallas deal for the Knicks. And so a question is, you know, do you go with DSJ, this Dennis Smith Jr., for those that are uninitiated with the acronyms, DeAndre Jordan in this matchup. Do you run the risk of trying to figure out Coach Fizdale's lineups and matchups? I feel like there could be value here in New York, but your guess is as good as mine as to where that value is really going to come in at. Trey Burke is gone. Frankie Nicotine is you know, on the shelf. Moutier is still on the shelf. So from a point guard's perspective, DSJ is going to get a lot of run. So key question is, do you think for his price point on DraftKings, he's $5,800, you think he's worth it? If so, in this matchup, I think you go with it and maybe hold off on using other Knicks players just because it's hard to get a read on the rotations for the Knicks. For Detroit, you have the all-star in Blake Griffin. I like him in this matchup. Again, this matchup was just played. Griffin is having a career year. You can't go wrong with him. And when I give you my core plays, which I will do as well before we get in the lineup build, Mr. Griffin is a part of it. Yeah, it's a low total. The key question is, I think Detroit is not a team, even against the Knicks, Detroit's not a team that's blowing anybody out these days. So I like Griffin to get, you know, 35 minutes or so. And at his price point, especially on DraftKings at 8,900, sign me up for Blake Griffin. He's just played really well. So key question is, if you think this game is close, then go with Mr. Blake. Reggie Jackson has reemerged as well. But Blake is kind of the guy really honing in on in this New York-Detroit matchup. Moving on to Chicago, going to Brooklyn to take on those Nets, as I mentioned. 223.5 is the over-under. Brooklyn's 8.5-point favorite. The Bulls, what do you do with Otto Porter, and what does he do to rotations? And, you know, probably going to be inserted in the starting lineup. What does Boylan want to do with him? It's a key question you need to answer to determine whether or not you go here. For me, it's going to be a wait-and-see approach. I wouldn't use Otto Porter on Friday night, even in this matchup against Brooklyn. What I might do instead is use some of the other parts of this Chicago lineup, so your Chris Dunns and Lauri Markkanens of the world, and depending on Zach LaVine's health, I might use them, because I do think it's going to be a pace-up matchup with Brooklyn. I think there'll be points scored, and Vegas likes to see that as well. So I believe that the Chicago team can keep it relatively close with the Nets. And so I think there's a lot of pieces there. So that's a question you want to ask yourself. Can Chicago keep it close with the Nets? Question on the Brooklyn side is, how do they integrate Caris LeVert? He's probably not going to be too impactful to a guy like D'Angelo Russell just yet. And obviously Spencer Dinwiddie's still on the shelf there for Brooklyn. So it's still the D'Angelo Russell show for a little bit longer. So you can go ahead and deploy him. Any of the other pieces from the Nets, you know, Shabazz Napier kind of is a thing. On DK, he's relatively priced. But for me, I really just, on the Nets side of the ball, really just looking at D'Angelo Russell. And the question is, again, what does LeVert do to the lineup? And you're probably not going to know that for another week to 10 days. But for Friday, Russell's probably the way to go on Brooklyn. And if you can figure that out, you should be pretty good. Moving on, Milwaukee is going to Dallas to take on the Mavs. 223 is the total. Milwaukee is an 8-point favorite. You know, questions here. Where does the usage go in the absence of Middleton? Well, we know it goes to Giannis. We know it goes to Bledsoe. And obviously Brogdon is elevated. So those are the three players to be mindful of in this matchup against the Mavs on the road. Any of those three guys are viable for the Friday night slate. So in the absence of Middleton, where's the usage go? That's what you want to ask yourself, and easily you can run those queries. For Dallas, you know, obviously the question, will Luka play? It looks like he probably will. So if he does go, where would one like to go here beyond Luka? And I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is a play that is very viable. He had about 24 minutes in the last matchup, in his first matchup there with Dallas. Really no one to push him at the position right now. So like him a lot in this matchup. You know, some of the front court pieces and Powell and Klebler, you know, both those guys are decent in what should be a bit of a pace up game between these two. But Luka and THJ are really the ways in which I would like to attack this Dallas side of the ball for the Friday night slate. We'll move on to the Valley of the Rising Sun, Golden State at Phoenix. No line in this one. Looking at, as I mentioned earlier, Devin Booker's health, and obviously TJ Warren is now officially out. So that's probably, we're waiting to see what happens with Booker. So obviously that is one key question, the health of Devin Booker. The other key question is, do you think this will be a blowout? If this is a blowout, then Golden State, you know, obviously is probably the team doing the blowing out, I would imagine. And, you know, with Boogie Cousins back and inserted in the lineup, it is very tricky to figure out what that does. Actually, it's not too tricky, but it's been very difficult to really rely on guys like Kevin Durant to, you know, exceed the value. And the price has come down on Durant. He's only 9,100. So I think the sites are reflecting the fact that there's more miles of feed with Boogie back in the lineup. So The Golden State pieces are fine, but I don't know that I would stack up a bunch of Golden State pieces just because it seems like it's a take turn. One day it's Clay, one day it's Steph, one day it's KD. Draymond has been a pretty solid and steady force for DFS purposes for Golden State. But realistically, unless you think this game is close, it's going to be a little tricky to put a bunch of Golden State pieces on it. Booker on the other side for Phoenix is a key question. If he goes, don't like as many Phoenix parts. But if he does not go, guys like Tyler Johnson, Kelly Oubre, Josh Jackson, who's come like on like a house of cards and a house of fire here lately, are other pieces to look at in the absence of one Devin Booker. So got to ask yourself, if the game can stay close, then this could be pretty viable. If it's going to be a blowout, you may want to stay away from some Suns players. So we'll move on. Minnesota at New Orleans. Again, no line here in this one as well. Probably just awaiting to see what happens with Anthony Davis, and that is the key question from this game. Will Davis be back in and integrated in the lineup? How is he going to work with the teammates that he's basically shunned and said, you know, I want to play somewhere else, that somewhere else being Los Angeles, basically. It will be very fascinating to see how it works. Obviously, he's one of the top five talents in the league, but it will just be interesting to see what the coaching staff wants to do with him. So that's a key question on New Orleans. Obviously, if Davis goes, that takes a hit for Jrue Holiday, although with Mirotić now gone, you know, that balances out some of the usage. So Jrue, you know, pretty safe floor, but his ceiling is capped, obviously. I think if Anthony comes back, Julius Randle played off the bench. So he's, he's a piece that you can use here, but New Orleans just is just an interesting squad. You know, some of these guys like Okafor and Williams that were things, obviously, in Davis's absence, probably get relegated back a little bit to the extent Davis comes back to play. So Davis is the key question there. On the Minnesota side of the ball, really, it looks like Jared Bayless got hurt tonight, so he's going to be questionable for tomorrow's matchup, and it's a back-to-back. So figuring out what they do at point guard, if Jeff Teague comes back, probably the key question there. You can always go with Cat. You can always go with Wiggins, kind of on this new coaching regime. I just am not in love with a lot of the Minnesota players, so I don't run to roster them. You know, Cat, pretty safe floor at about, you know, 40 fantasy points, no matter who he plays these days. But, you know, I find that on a slate like this with eight games, you probably can go other ways. You don't have to feel like you got to put Cat in your lineup and you know, go from there. So it's really where it stops and starts in the Minnesota-New Orleans game. So we'll move on to the final game of the night. The Miami Heat are at the Sacramento Kings. So they'll be up in Northern California. Over-under is 218.5. Sacramento is 2.5-point home favorites there. Key question you want to ask here is, how does Harrison Barnes integrate into the new-look Sacramento Kings? Obviously, they got rid of a guy like Iman Shumpert, so that might help smooth out rotations a little bit. Sacramento's just a really good team. They're a fun league pass game, team to watch when they're playing. They get after it. De'Aaron Fox has kind of leveled off a little bit, but this may be a nice matchup for him. You know, Miami, a little bit slower in pace than Sacramento likes to play, but you know, figuring out what Harrison Barnes does in this first game will be key. He's a consummate professional. I mean, I watched some of that game, his last game in Dallas, where, you know, it was announced that he was traded basically through the crowd. People knew, and I think he knew, obviously, that he was traded, but he kind of sat there and it really showed some class, and not throwing a fit and going wild. And so played it like a pro. He's a champion, obviously, with the Warriors. He's going to be a really good addition to Sacramento, and I really think they're going to end up making the playoffs. So key question for me is, how do you integrate Harrison Barnes in the mix? It's actually, if you think that he's going to, you know, fit right in nicely, he's at a really nice price on DraftKings at 5,200. So, and he can do a lot of things. He's not just scoring dependent. So, definitely like him a lot. For the Friday night slate on the Miami side of the ball, getting rid of Tyler Johnson helps a little bit. Obviously Wayne Ellington's now gone. So some of that backlog with some of these, you know, duplicative players Miami has is kind of relieved. So where does the usage go? Probably a spot like Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow as well. Usage increase with the removal of Tyler Johnson and guys like Wayne Ellington in the backcourt. Dwayne Wade still on the farewell tour. He's only at 5K on DraftKings, also a play there. So figuring out and running some queries will be key to figure out where Miami usage goes. It's really Richardson and Winslow. Whiteside has a favorable matchup with Collie Stein, but Whiteside is such a space cadet in terms of his play and his motor and whether or not he's actually going to be performing. So he's one that 6,800, you can look his way, but just buyer beware on that one. Okay, so that is a little bit change, some game by game, but just kind of more with key questions to look at that. If I'm looking for both sites, my core players for the Friday night slate would be as follows. I like Marvin Bagley a lot in that Sacramento game. He has really come on of late, so I want to get some exposure to Bagley. Lauri Markkanen from Chicago, also part of my core, in a matchup with Brooklyn. He has also been in very good recent form. We talked about him, and it's not just my bias being a Pistons guy, but Blake Griffin, I want a lot of shares of Blake Griffin in my core. And then also from Chicago, going back to that game, give me Chris Dunn as part of my core as well. So now Bagley, Markkanen, Blake, and Dunn, kind of my four core plays for Friday night. And with that, core in mind, let's try to build a lineup on both sites. And we'll start with DraftKings. So I think I can build around that core. And let's do that. So we want to get Markkanen in. And we want to get Dunn in. And Bagley in. We'll put him at center. And then we go Blake. So we got Markkanen, Bagley, Dunn, Blake. Okay. And then let's see. Oh, here's a guy I want to play. Talked about him a little bit. Phoenix, because I think Booker may actually sit. So I'm going to get Josh Jackson in here. Put him in my utility spot. Leaves me with 5,166 left. So I'm actually going to do something else. I was playing with earlier. I'm going to go to this guy. Also in that game. Because I think he has decent talent, and he's going to get every opportunity to show his wares. I'm going to put Tyler Johnson. You join the squad at point guard, so put him in there. Leaves me 5,600. And so let's just live dangerously and stack the Phoenix side of that Golden State Phoenix thing. And let's go with Kelly Oubre, because he's been performing very well of late, and he's pretty safe pick at small forward, and he's only 5,900 on DK. So leaves me 5,300. And there's a guy I'm looking for. I've got a guard spot to fill. There's a guy I'm looking for. We talked about him ever so briefly. Yeah, I think he's going to fit right nicely. Yep, Tim Hardaway Jr. from the new look Dallas Mavs. 4,900 leaves me $400 left. So let's run through this DK lineup. It's very balanced, doesn't have too many stars in it, but I think this could serve you well on Friday. I've got Tyler Johnson at point. Got Chris Dunn from the Bulls at shooting guard, Kelly Oubre Jr. at small forward, Blake Griffin at the power forward, Marvin Bagley manning the center position, Tim Hardaway Jr. at guard, Lauri Markkanen at forward, and Josh Jackson from the Suns and utility. $400 left. Like that lineup. We're going to go ahead and put that in a tournament or two right now. So let me go ahead and do that. Boom. All right. Let's go to FanDuel and let's see what we can do on the duel. All right. Let's see if we can get that core in here. So let's go with Dunn at point, Blake at power forward. Let's see. Lauri. So we have a little bit of problem here because we can't roster so many power forwards. But I'm going to put Lauri in and see how that works at power forward. So we got Dunn, Blake, Lauri. So I can't really play Bagley here. Oh, but you know what I want to do? Let's do this. Talked about him just a second ago. The Suns up-tempo is getting a new look, new lease on life. Let's see. Sweet, where you are, sir. Tyler Johnson. Let's go my point guard spot. Boom. Okay. So now I've got to fill out the rest of this roster. I've got 6,400 a player. Let's start working this. Let me go with a center spot. Save a little money here. Because I don't think he has anyone to match up against him on the other side. Let's go Brook Lopez from Milwaukee. Put him in there at center. All right. So still about $6,400 left. Plenty of money to play with. Let's see here. Tim Hardaway Jr. 6 on this site. Let's go with Wiggins in the New Orleans matchup. We'll put Wiggins in. And we got the money. Let's do it. Let's go Hardaway Jr. on this one too. I don't like him as much as I did on DraftKings. So I've got 6,850 a player left. Two spots to fill, both my small forward spots. See what we can do. See how we can dance a little bit. Okay. Let's get this guy. Let's bring him on over. Kelly Oubre Jr., you join the squad. And then who do I like here? Harrison Barnes, only 5,500. It's tough for me. I kind of want to play him, but I think I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go in the Sacramento game on the Miami side of the ball. I'm going to go Josh Richardson, 6,600. So also I did a balance build here. Still got $400 left. Let's run it back. On FanDuel, we go with Tyler Johnson, Chris Dunn, Andrew Wiggins, Tim Hardaway Jr., Kelly Oubre Jr., Josh Richardson, Blake Griffin, Lauri Markkanen, and Brook Lopez. So that leaves you $400 left. And that's a way to go. Let's put that in the lineup as well. Put that into some tournaments as well. Let's get that going for us. So that's about it. That's about all I have for this podcast. 8 games. So a lot of different ways you can go. Still some news and notes, obviously, to be had before you can really build. Remember kind of some of the things we talked about last week with, bottom building and trying to look deeper into each position and finding a player that you like that's a little bit lower price and then going from there. It's always a good, solid way to build as well. Did a little bit different here today, but it's a way that you can differentiate by doing that kind of bottom build approach and going from the bottom up there. So don't mind that approach as well. Again, thank you for listening. If you have questions, please get at me on Twitter. I'm at Spartanzilla. And then same in the Slack. If you have any comments or feedback about the podcast, also just get at me. Pretty communicative. like to talk to people. Love putting this content out for you guys. And again, patreon.com/lineuplogic to join and become a patron and get involved with the great community that is Lineup Logic. So bid you all adieu and a very profitable Friday night in the National Basketball Association. Take it easy, guys. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, for all it is and worth.